We left off on the bottom of Daf Tzadizayin and Beis at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is going to have two cases about people reading from a Sefer in Rishus HaYachin, and then the other end of the Sefer rolls outside of the Rishus HaYachin. And the Gemara is going to give three explanations of the specifics of the first case, what exactly is the type of Rishus that it happens to roll out onto. The Gemara is then going to qualify the second case as speaking about a Sefer that's not really dangling in midair, but it's actually resting on something on a slanted wall, and it's going to discuss how that fits with the rest of the Mishnah. And then we're going to have two Mishnayos on Amud Beis. The first Mishnah is going to talk about whether a person can carry things from a house to a window ledge through the window of his house. And the second Mishnah on Amud Beis discusses with a person standing in one Rishus while moving items that are in another Rishus. Or is one allowed to do that? Stand in one Rishus and move items in another Rishus. So let's begin with the Mishnah on Daf Tzadizayin on Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Hayukori b'sefer, if a person was reading from a sefer. Very important to realize that when we talk about a sefer in the Mishnayos, it's not like this kind of sefer. Says Rashi that kol svarim asuyin b'yimei rishonim asuyin b'gilyon k'sefer Torah shalanu. What's the gear sound? B'glila k'sefer Torah shalanu. That all of the svarim that they used to have that they're talking about were made obviously on parchment and obviously handwritten, but also they were rolled svarim like our sefer Torah are rolled, where it could roll one way or the other. So that's how the imagery should appear when reading this Mishnah. Person is kori b'sefer al ha'iskofa, by the threshold of his house, v'niz galgal ha'sefer miyado, and the sefer rolls out of his hand. So golilo itzlo, he's allowed to roll it back toward himself. So that's if it was by the threshold. He's reading from the scroll on the threshold of his house, it rolled outside, he could roll it back in. But what about ha'yikori b'rosh ha'gag, if he was reading a sefer on top of a roof, v'niskal gela sefer miyado, and then the sefer rolls out of his hands. So ad shelo higia, so then we're going to have three opinions. Opinion number one, ad shelo higia la'asar tfachim, gol lo etzlo. Mishagia la'asar tfachim, hofcha laksav. Tanakama holds if the other end of the sefer that he's not holding in his hands is more than 10 tfachim off the ground, he can still roll it back up and bring it back to where he's standing. But if it's within 10 tfachim of the ground, then hofcha laksav, he should turn it face down. The Gemara is going to explain because that's going to minimize the bizayon of the Kisvei HaKodesh. If you leave it face up, that's considered to be a bizayon to Kisvei HaKodesh. That's why probably one of the reasons we don't like to leave Svarim open unattended. Just leaving the Ksav exposed is considered to be a bizayon to the Sefer. The Gemara is going to discuss why there are no other available options, but that's the best available option. The Gemara is going to say when there's no other way to just cover it with a cloth or anything else to save from bizayon is to turn it face down, because obviously the best idea when you have a sefer is not to turn it face down. That's a little bit of a bizayon also, but that's less of a bizayon than leaving it face up. So that is the sheet of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu ein mesuluk minaretz el kumlo machat kol lo etzlo. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even if it's hovering just above the ground, even if it's not more than 10 tefachim off the ground, it's right above the ground, still you're allowed to roll it back, even if it's just slightly above the ground. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Then Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu baretz atzmo golulo etzlo. That even if we're actually on the ground, the other end of the sefer, we're actually resting on the ground, you'd be able to roll it back. Why? Shein l'chadavr mishum shvus omid b'fnei kisvei HaKodesh. Because the whole isser we're talking about is an isser d'rabbanan, and for the sake of protecting kisvei HaKodesh, we're allowed to violate an isser d'rabbanan. There's no isser d'rabbanan that's going to get in the way of protecting kisvei HaKodesh. Says Rashi, what kind of shvus are we talking? Mishum shvus kigonzu shlo nafal miyado. Why is this only a shvus? Because it didn't actually fall out of your hand entirely. Sharei achas b'rosho echad ve'in kana l'mishum gzeira dilma nafil kule. You're still holding the other end of the sefer, and therefore it's not going to be a violation of anything on a daraisa level to be golo etzlo, to roll it back up. The whole concern is that you might drop the end that you're holding and then carry it from outside to the to inside where you're standing. So it's all an issur d'rabbanan. It's all only an issue midrabbanan. Says Rabbi Shimon, we're not going to be concerned about an issue midrabbanan when it comes to protecting kisvei HaKodesh. The Rambam writes in the 13th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, that a person who throws an object that's tied to a string into a Rishus HaRabim, and he's still holding the string. Say a person throws a kite, something that's tied to a string, that he's still holding on to the string, and the object is out into the Rishus HaRabim. Says the Rambam, im yachli mashech etzlo, if you're able to pull the object back with that string, then you're patur. Then you did not violate Hotzah when you threw it from the Rishus Yachid to the Rishus HaRabim. That is not Hotzah from Rishus Yachid to Rishus HaRabim, because there's no real Hanacha in the Rishus HaRabim. It's as if you were Oker, the object from Rishus Yachid, but were never meant Niach in the Rishus HaRabim. So in Rabbi Kiveger's Hagos on the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shunan Beis on the Magen Avram, he just asks, it's a very difficult Rambam, why do we say only if he's able to be Mosheich the object, he's Pater? Even if he can't be Mosheich, even if the string is not strong enough to be able to pull the object back, he should still be Pater. Rashi says over here, the reading of our Mishnah is that this whole issue is only a Shavus when it's Miktsasa B'Rishus HaYachid, when part of an object and it's all connected, so part of it is still in the Rishus HaYachid, it's still in your hand, and you're holding that part, so and part of it is in the Rishus HaRabim, it's only a Shavus, it's not in the Siddur Raisa. So why does Rambam make it sound that if you can't be Mosheich Etzlo, if the string isn't strong enough to pull it back, then you're going to be Chayiv, even though it's still partially in your hand? So Rabbi Kiveger writes that even according to the Rambam, you could say that maybe then that it's only, the way the Rambam must understand is that it's only when the chayfetz, when the object is entirely in the Rishus HaRabim, but the string that's attached to the object is something that's in the Rishus HaYachid, that's where it's totally miyachal avio etzlo or not, if you're able to bring it back. But when part of the object itself, meaning when it's very clear, a string attached to an object is not the same as part of a sefer. Part of a sefer, the object is very clearly the sefer. So if part of the sefer is in the Rishus HaYachid and part is in the Rishus HaRabim, that would clearly, even according to the Rambam, regardless of whether, let's say the sefer has tfiros that are very shvach, so if you try to pull it from the part that you're holding in the Rishus HaYachid, it's going to rip in half, and you're not going to be able to pull the whole thing back. Even then, the Rambam would say you did not violate Hotza'a when you threw part of the sefer into the Rishus Rabim and are holding the other part in the Rishus Yachid. Because in that case, it's very clear that the sefer is the object, and part of the object is still in the Rishus Yachid. But when you have an object that's attached to the string, the object is the object, and the string is just something that's connected to the object. So that's where the Rambam is mechalik between whether you're able to pull it back or not. That if you're able to pull it back, it's not going to be considered to have been a violation of Hotza'a. If you're not able to pull it back, it will be a violation of Hotza'a. There is an interesting tshuva in the Beis Yitzchak in Yerodea Simon Kuf Samachay. Talks about a person who was Magbia Sefer Torah, and one side of the Sefer Torah fell to the ground, but he's still holding the other side of the Sefer Torah. Does he have to fast? Is that considered a bizayon of the Sefer Torah that he's going to have to fast, like a person that drops the Sefer Torah? It didn't drop the whole Sefer Torah, part of the Sefer Torah rolled to the ground. So he says, from the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, what does Rabbi Shimon say? That for the sake of Kisvei HaKodesh, of covered Kisvei HaKodesh, we're not going to worry about any Yisud Rabbanan. So it seems that even when only one sad falls, it's still considered a bizayon, because that's exactly the case of our Mishnah. You have one sad that didn't fall, and only the other sad fell down. You're still holding the first sad in your hand. So nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon still says, we ignore every Yisud Rabbanan for the sake of the covered, of protecting the bizayon, for protecting the covered, protecting Kisvei HaKodesh from Bizayon, even though it's only one side. The Chum were not goes there. So certainly when one side falls, a person should be Chayv L'Sanos, because the whole tainus that one has for a Sefer Torah falling is because of Bizayon Sefer Torah. So that's not exactly Pashut. It doesn't really appear anywhere in Shas or Shulchan Aruch that there's a Chiv to fast when a Sefer Torah falls. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Let's see a little bit of the Gemara. There's some fascinating discussion about the tainus that when the Sefer Torah falls. But let's see the Gemara first. Hai Yiskofa Hechidami. What's the case of the Yiskofa? We had the Mishnah had two cases. One case where you're reading by the threshold of your house, the Yiskofa, and the Sefer Torah rolls out, and the other case where you're on the roof. The case case on the roof, we had three shitas, but the case of the iskafa, there was only one shita. It was very clear what to do. So we just said, a golo, it's low, and that was it. So what kind of iskafa is this? Where is this Rosh Hashiach, Rosh Hashiram, Karmelus, Makom Torah? What is this area that the person is standing on when the Sefer Torah rolls out, and what is it rolling out to? So Ilema iskofas Rosh Hashiach, Vekama Rosh Harabim. And if you're going to say that the iskofa itself is a Rosh Hashiach, so you're reading the Sefer and Rosh Hashiach, and part of it rolls out into a Rosh Harabim, Velogaz Rinan Dilma Nafal Vasil Asuyeh, and we're not going to be gozer, that maybe the whole thing is going to fall out into the Rosh Hashiach and you're going to come to carry it, and that's what the Mishnah is telling me. Don't worry, go low at slow, you can roll it back up, you don't have to worry that the whole thing is going to go out into the Rosh Hashiach. So money, Rabbi Shimoni, Damar called over Shumishum Shvosei Noam Yifnekes V'Hakodesh. So then it would turn out that the first case of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah doesn't quote any machlokas, would only work within Shitas Rabbi Shimon in the later part of the Mishnah. Later part of the Mishnah, three Shitos. Rabbi Shimon is the one that says that I don't worry about any Yisid Rabbanon, we have to worry about Kisvei HaKodesh. So the first part of the Mishnah, it should be a significant Yisid Rabbanon. I have part of the Sefer Rosh Hashiach and part of Rosh Hashiram. It's reasonable to make a Gezerah that I might drop it and bring the whole thing back from the Rosh Hashiram to the Rosh Hashiach. So to say that I'm allowed to be Golo Etzlo, that only works Lefi Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that there are no Isurim Drabanan when it comes to protecting Kisvei HaKodesh. Same as Seifa. The problem is, if you read Vayter in the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in the second case, it quotes a Tanakama, then it quotes Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Afidu Ed Mesiluk Menaretz El Kamlo Achut, Golo Etzlo, that even if it's just a little bit off the ground, you're allowed to roll it back. And then Rabbi Shimon Omer Afilu Baratz Atzma Golo Etzlo, that even if it's all the way on the ground, you're allowed to roll it back. That's when you're reading it on a roof. So wait, Reisha V'Seifa Rabbi Shimon, Mitzias Rabbi Yehuda. So that's a very strange order to the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts with a statement of Rabbi Shimon, then it quotes a Tanakama, a Rabbi Yehuda, and then Vayter Rabbi Shimon. So it takes a break in middle of Rabbi Shimon's statements. Some Rabbi Yehuda in. Yeah, that's the best we could do. Reisha V'Seifa Rabbi Shimon, Mitzias Rabbi Yehuda. That's the first approach. There are going to be three approaches how to understand this case. But approach number one is that it only works according to Rabbi Shimon, and we're talking about where you're in the Rosh HaYachid, Sefer rolls out into the Rosh HaSarabim. It's reasonable to make a Gezerah that it might fall out into the Rosh HaSarabim and you'll come to carry it, but we don't make any such Gezerahs for the protection of Kisvei HaKodesh. It's all Rabbi Shimon's Shita. That is approach number one. Approach number two, Rabba Amar, Hacha bi iskofa hanidreses askinan, that we're dealing with an iskofa that is trampled on a lot. Umishim bizayim kisvei hakodesh shar rabbanan. In that case, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that kind of bizayon of kisvei hakodesh, we're not going to make an isur drabanan. I mean, Rabbi Shimon holds that that any sort of bizayon for kisvei hakodesh, we're not going to make an isur drabanan. But when we're dealing with an iskofa hanidreses, a threshold that's trampled on a lot, so it would lead to a significantly worse denigration of the svarim that are relying on that iskofa, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to say best not to make any isur drabanan over here. Best to protect kisvei hakodesh from a terrible bizayon. Say isvei abaye toch dal ramos. Go low at slow. Asks Abai, wait a second, but we make a chilik between a sefer that is rolled within 4 amos and a sefer that is rolled outside of 4 amos. That if it's within 4 amos, you roll it back. But if it's outside of 4 amos, then you don't roll it back, then you just turn it upside down. V'yamrit v'niskofa anidreses askinan, but if we're talking about a niskofa that's trampled on a lot, mali tochtal an amos, mali chutzla arba amos. What difference would it make whether it's within 4 amos or outside of 4 amos? As Rashi points out, mali chutzla arba hakula shvusi. It's all an issur drabanan, the ogdo biyado. Regardless of how far it rolled out, way more than 4 amos in the Rosh Hashanah, but you're still holding one end in the Rosh Hashiachid, and therefore the whole issue is an issue midrabanan. Umali mavir dal amos Rosh Hashanah, mali machnas Rosh Hashanah liskofa Rosh Hashiachid. Da kasharisla mishum da ogdo biyado. It doesn't make a difference whether it's going 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah or from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashiachid. You have one end in your hand, and therefore it's only in the Sidrabanan. And in a makom of great bizayon, like it's on an niskofa nidreses, we should ignore all isurim drabanan. So how could we make such a chilek? So that's why Abaye rejects Rabba's approach. So far we had Rava's approach, we had Rabba's approach, and now we have Abaye. Was Rava the first one? So we had who was it? Rav Yehuda. It was Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda's approach, Rabba's approach, and now we have Abaye with a third approach. Ella Amar Abaye, Hacha B'Iskofa Karmelis Askinan. Over here we're dealing with an Iskofa that is not a Rosh HaSiachid. The Iskofa itself is only a Karmelis. Rosh HaSarabim Overes Lefaneha. And there's a Rosh HaSarabim that happens to run in front of the this Karmelis. So if it rolled within Dalet Amos, what's the worst that could happen? Let's say you let go of your end and it rolls all the way out to the area in front. So the worst that's going to happen is you're going to pick it up and bring it back onto the Iskofa, which is itself only Nisid Rabbanan. So the whole Gezerah that it might fall out of your hand and then you're going to come to carry it is only Gezerah L'Gezerah. It's only Gezerah to protect you from Nisid Rabbanan in the first place. So that's Mutter. Chutzla Arba Amos, you don't even need any special dispensation, it sounds like, of Kisvei HaKodesh. This is just going to be Mutter. Chutzli Arba Amos, the Maisilei, Asli Dechi of Chatas. But if it rolls beyond Dalet Amos, where now if you pick it up and try to bring it back, you're going to be Mavir at Dalet Amos and Rosh HaSarabim. Oh, that's going to be Yechi of Chatas, Lo Sharlei Rabbanan. That's where the Rabbanan do not allow it. So the Reisha of our Mishnah is not assuming, like Rabbi Shimon, that we do whatever it takes, we'll violate any sort of Yisid Rabbanan to protect Kisvei HaKodesh. We will not violate any Yisid Rabbanan to protect Kisvei HaKodesh. It's only this kind of Yisid Rabbanan, where it's a Gzera L'Gzera type of Yisid Rabbanan to protect Kisvei HaKodesh. So Frek the Gemara, wait a second, Ihachi Toch Dalet Amos Nami, even if it rolled out within Dalet Amos, shouldn't we still be concerned that you might pick it up and not just bring it back to the Iskofa, you might bring it back past the Iskofa into your house? If it rolls out into the Rosh Hashanah, you're going to want to get it out of the Rosh Hashanah. So what are you going to do? You'll bring it home. You might not just bring it to the Iskofa. So shouldn't that be a concern also? Says Gemara, V'chitem ekivim d'mafsekes karmelis leslanba. And if you're going to tell me that no, since there's a karmelis that divides between the Rosh Hashanah and the Rosh Hashiachid, so we have no concern that you're going to violate an Issa d'Araisa because you always have to go through a karmelis first. But v'amar Rava maver chefetz mitchilas arba l'sof arba ve'viro derech alav chayiv. If a person carries something for Amos and Rosh Hashanah, even if he lifts it up really high as he's carrying it, more than 10 tefachim off the ground, which is a makom patur, we know that in Rosh Hashanah it goes all the way up ad the rakia, right above 10 tefachim off the ground. But Rosh Hashanah, the airspace of Rosh Hashanah is only 10 tefachim. So what happens if I pick something up in Rosh Hashanah, lift it high above 10 tefachim, and walk for Amos and put it down at the other, and put it down after I walked for Amos? You're going to be chayiv, even though it went through the makom patur on the way. So if I pick something up in Rosh Hashanah and bring it back into my house through the Iskofa, which is only a Karmelis, I should still be Chayiv. Just because I happen to walk through the Iskofa, it's the same thing as Derech Olav. So Hacha b'mayaskinan b'Iskofa Arucha. So says Gemara, no, we're dealing over here with a very long Iskofa. And since we're dealing with a very long Iskofa, there's no concern that you're going to carry it all the way into your house without realizing. Because by the time you get to your house, you will have already realized, wait a second, what am I doing? I just picked this up in Rosh HaSarabim, and you will stop on the Iskofa somewhere. So says Gemara, da da hachi vahachi midkar, because you're going to remember somewhere along the way. V'iba yisema, another possibility is, li'olam b'Iskofa she'ena aruka. Maybe we're dealing with an Iskofa that's not particularly long. V'stam kisvei HaKodesh iyunei ma'ayin b'hu umanach lehu. But the issue is that kisvei HaKodesh, you're not going to just come to carry it straight from the Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashiachid, because when people pick up a sefer, they always open it up. They always look inside and want to read a little bit from the sefer. So you're going to stop to read from it. And that's why we're not concerned you're going to carry straight from the Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashiachid. So, frak the Gemara, v'leich ha'shtum ma'ayin bu b'Rosh Hashanah v'ayilu b'hadil Rosh Hashiachid. Wait a second. Yeah, you're going to stop to read from it. When do you stop to read from a sefer when you pick it up? Normally, as soon as you pick it up. So you're going to see it out in the Rosh Hashanah, you'll go outside, you'll pick it up, you'll read a little bit from the sefer, and then you'll be done reading from it, and then then he'll carry it straight from the Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah. So he's still going to violate the Issa D'oraisa of carrying it straight from the Rosh Hashanah to the Rosh Hashanah. Says Gemara, Hamani ben Azaihi. No, we're assuming like the Shita of Ben Azai, Da Amar Mahalich Ka'omedami. Ben Azai holds that when a person is walking, it's as if he's standing still in each step, with each step that he takes. So he never actually carries it straight from the Rosh Hashanah Rabin to the Rosh Hashanah, because when he steps on the Iskofa, it's as if he has stopped on the Iskofa, and therefore he carried it from the Rosh Hashanah Rabin to the Iskofa, which is a Carmelis, and then he weiter takes it again from the Iskofa to the Rosh Hashanah, which is a Carmelis to Rosh Hashanah, never violating an Issa D'oraisa. So Frek the Gemara, but Vidilma Zorik Lu Mizrak, but maybe he's going to throw it. Am Rabbi Yochanan Moda Ben Azai B'Zorek, after all, isn't Ben Azai Moda that if you're Zorek from a Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah or vice versa through a Carmelis, that you're going to be Chayiv? So shouldn't we be concerned that the guy's going to pick up the Sefer in the Rosh Hashanah, read from the Sefer, let's say, be finished reading from the Sefer, and then instead of walking it over the Yiskofa into the Rosh Hashanah, he will throw it over the Yiskofa into the Rosh Hashanah, and that will be an Issa D'oraisa. So how can you say we have no concerns of any sort of Issa D'oraisa over here? So Amar Ravacha Barava, Zos Samaris, Ein Mizarkim, Kisvei HaKodesh. Who throws Kisvei HaKodesh? You're not supposed to throw Kisvei HaKodesh. A person finds Kisvei HaKodesh, he's not going to pick it up and throw it. Okay, so there's a lot to discuss over here. Maybe we'll worry. Yeah, we won't work backwards. We'll work from beginning to end. We had three approaches to understand what the case is in our Mishnah of the reading on the Yiskofa, and the Sefer rolls out where you're allowed to be Golel Etzlov. Right? We had Rabbi Yehuda Shita that the Yiskofa is a Rosh Hashanah. It rolls into Rosh Hashanah Rabim, and we must be assuming, like Rabbi Shimon, that to protect Kisvei HaKodesh, we're going to allow rolling it back even from Rosh Hashanah Rabim into a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. We're not concerned, we're not going to be worried for the concern, Midrabanan, that you might drop it out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabim and come to carry it. That was approach number one. Approach number two was Rabbah, that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, Rabbi Yehuda the Tana would agree, and the Tana Kama in our Mishnah would agree, in our case, that we're not going to be worried about any issue midrabanan, because the bizayon is a significantly worse kind of bizayon, because we're dealing with an iskofa hanidreses. We're dealing with an iskofa that people trample all over. And that's a terrible bizayon kisvei HaKodesh, so everybody's going to agree that we're not going to be concerned about the issue midrabanan over here. Now there is going to be a gemara that we're going to learn in a few days from now, right at the very, very end of the Masechta, that it's going to say that the isser of shvus, Mishum Kisvei HaKodesh, is only b'mikdash v'lo b'medina, that they were not matir in Yisro Shvus for Divrei Kodesh b'medina. So Tosfos says, but wait a second, our Gemara says that if you find tefillin Kshurim Zebzei, you find tefillin that are tied together, meaning within this shita, not like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says we're always going to allow for Kisvei HaKodesh. We're going to allow any Yisod Rabbanan. But now Rabbi says no, that's not what our mission is assuming. We're not assuming like Rabbi Shimon. We're assuming that there must be a terrible bizayon in order to allow violating an Yisod Rabbanan. It can't just be a regular bizayon to the Kisvei HaKodesh. So Tosfos raises the question that we had. If a person finds on Shabbos tefillin that are all tied together that he's unable to wear to carry them in zug, so what does he do? He's malichem pachos midal ramos. He carries them less than 4 amos at a time. That's an Isser Shvus. How can we allow an Isser Shvus for the sake of the tefillin that are out there? So Tosfos Metaritz that tefillin that are munach b'bizayon, they were vade matir an Isser Shvus. So apparently, says the Magen Avraham in Simen Shinun Bey, Sivkat and Gimel, when it comes to Kisvei HaKodesh, it has to be a really bad bizayon in order to allow an Issur Shvus. But when it's a stam bizayon, we're not going to allow an Issur Shvus. But when it comes to tefillin, even if it's just a stam bizayon, we're going to be matir. Apparently, we're more protective of the bizayon of tefillin than we are of Kisvei HaKodesh. Not sure exactly why, but the Magen Avraham says that's the conclusion that one would draw from just reading our Gemara and reading the Tosfos, that when it comes to tefillin, we're going to be more protective of the bizayin of tefillin than we will be for kisvei hakodesh. Only a terrible bizayin of kisvei hakodesh, according to Rabbah, would we be matir. Then we had Abaye's shita, and Abaye's shita was that the case of the iskofa was a karmelis, and there was a rishus harabim running in front of it. So the whole concern is only a concern that maybe you're going to violate an issa, even if you were to drop it and carry it inside, it would only be an issa drabanan, not an issa daraisa, because it's only carrying from rishus harabim to a karmelis. So it turns out that Abaye asks on Rabbah, right? What was Abaye's problem with Rabbah? That if we were dealing with an iskofa that's a rishus yachid, why is it only when it's niskalal toch dalaramos that you go low it's low, and not when it's niskalal more than dalaramos? Just like you're concerned that you should be concerned when it's niskalal more than dalaramos. If you were matir a shvus mishum bizayin kisvei hakodesh, even when it's more than dalaramos, it's still only a shvus because you're still holding the other end in your hand. So asks the Yeshuas Yaakov, what kind of kasha is that? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that the Chum say that it's also to be tokeh on Rosh Hashanah that's chal b'Shabbos. Why? Why are we not allowed to be tokeh a shofar when Rosh Hashanah is chal on Shabbos? Because Shema Yavira Dal Ramos Rishus Rabim. We're afraid you're going to carry the shofar four amos in Rishus Rabim. You're going to take it to a baki, lilmod, and you're going to carry it four amos in Rishus Rabim. Asks Tosfos in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, why am I concerned only that you're going to carry the shofar four amos in Rishus Rabim, and not concerned that you're going to carry the shofar more likely from the Rishus Yachid to the Rishus Rabim, right? Probably the shofar's in your house when the day starts. So why am I only worried you're going to carry four amos in Rishus Rabim? I'm not worried you can carry from the Rishus Yachid to the Rishus Rabim. So says Tosfos, because carrying from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim involves moving from one type of location to another, you'll probably remember before you carry it out. The whole concern is the guy's going to forget himself. You'll probably remember on the way out. Carrying four amos in Rosh Hashanah, you don't feel any difference. You're just walking within Rosh Hashanah. A much more likely concern. So given that comment of Tosfos, says the Yeshuas Yaakov, why does the Gemara not answer? Abaye's whole kasha on Rabbah was, I don't understand. Even if it was golol, more than dalet amos, it should be it should be mutter to bring it back. Because after all, even if it's golol more than dalet amos, it's still only in the Sidra Banan. Couldn't Abaye have thought of the chilek between a concern of carrying something for amos in Rosh Hashanah and a concern of carrying something from a Rosh Hashanah into a Rosh Hashanah, meaning maybe dafka when it's in skal a toch dalet amos, you go let's slow because there's a hecker between the Rosh Hashanah and the Rosh Hashanah, so there's less of a concern that you're going to bring it all the way back into the Rosh Hashanah if you were to drop it. But when it's in the skal chutz dalet amos and you were to drop it, so then we're really concerned you're going to carry it more than dalet amos. That's the kash of the Yeshuas Yaakov based on the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. A very strong kasha. There are tirutzim, but we'll leave it at that. There's also a machlokas within Shitas Abaye. Abaye was the one who said, again, he was that third approach, that the iskofa was a karmelis to begin with, and therefore the whole concern is even if you drop it, you're only going to carry it from a Rishus HaRabim into a karmelis. So wait a second. So the concern is if you drop it, that a gezeira midrabanan, you might drop it. And if you drop it, then even then, the only concern is they're going to violate an issa d'rabbanan, not an issa d'oraisa. So does the fact that it's a sefer play any role over here? Meaning, what if it wasn't a sefer? What if it wasn't kisvei hakodesh? The whole thing's only gzeira l'gzeira anyway. What if it weren't something holy, and I have it standing on an iskofa that's a karmelis, and the other end of the item is out in the Rishus HaRabim? Would Abaye say that that's mutter too? And sefer just happens to be the example that the Mishnah gives, but it's not really relevant. It doesn't really have to be a sefer. So there is a group of Rishonim. The Rambam seems to hold this way in the 15th parak of Hilchos Shabbos, that according to Abaye, it's only a sefer, that we're going to allow this for bizayin kisvei hakodesh. Anything else, it's still going to be aser mitam this gezeru legezera. The Rashba explains the svara for the shita is that the Gemara later on asks, we saw it, that we should still be choshesh, maybe you're going to be zorek, mirushus ram to the rishus yachid derech the iskofa, over the iskofa you'll throw it inside, and that will be a violation of minister daraisa. So the Gemara says, no, we're not concerned about that. Why? Because we're dealing with a sefer, and who throws a sefer? You don't throw a sefer. So says the Rashi, you see clearly that the whole discussion only works with the sefer. If it weren't a sefer, Abaye would still say it's aser, even though it's only gzera l'gzera, because the concern is not just that you might carry it to the iskofa. The concern is you might throw it all the way from the Rosh Hashanah back into the house. So that is one definite school of thought within Rishonim. However, Tosfos says that according to Abaye, it's lav dafka that we were matir by a sefer to be golo etzlo, even other objects also that roll from the iskofa to the karmelis, that from the iskofa, which is a karmelis, to the rishus rabim, and you're still holding one end, you're allowed to be golo etzlo, you're allowed to bring it back. And the raya that they bring is from the Gemara in Shabbos Taf Kuf Gimel. The Gemara says that isurei shvus are hutru b'migdash and not b'medina. So the Gemara asks, from the case of the Sefer Shenis Galgal, that's considered a shvus b'migdash, the Sefer Shenis Galgal, because it's all about kedusha, so that counts as a shvus b'migdash. So when you're holding one end in your hand, you're allowed to roll it back. So apparently, a shvus is mutter, even b'medina lav dafka b'migdash. So Abaye responds that the Mishnah is talking about in the scope that's a karmelis, that even if it if part of the sefer fell out of your hand, it still wouldn't be, even if the part that you were holding fell out of your hand, still wouldn't be a chi of chatas. So when you have part of it in your hand, it's not even an isur shvus. It's such a low level gzer, it's not even isur shvus. So it sounds like if it weren't isur shvus, we would not allow you to roll it back, since an isur shvus b'migdash lo hitiru b'medina. Whatever isur shvus is in the migdash, they were not mati in the medina. So it turns out that we could prove from Abaye that it seems from Abaye that there's no chilik between Kisvei HaKodesh and other objects. Okay, maybe we'll get more into that when we see that Gemara. We'll have better appreciation of that Raya. But anyway, the Gemara made this comment that we are not Zorik Kisvei HaKodesh, that we cannot throw, people do not throw Kisvei HaKodesh. So first of all, in the ultimate Afyomi coincidence, the fact that we're spending so much time discussing the covet of Kisvei HaKodesh in today's daf, there is a Magen Avram in Simen Tov Kuf Pei. I mentioned it at Shalosh Shulis last week. The Magen Avram writes at the very end of Simen Tov Kuf Pei, Kosev Atanya, B'yom Hashishi Parshas Chukas, on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, Nagu Yechidim Lis'anos, that there are some people have a minhag to fast, because on that day in France, 20 wagons full of svarim were burnt. They did not determine that fast day, because of the burning of all those svarim, should be on the day of the month that this occurred. Because they learned from a she'ilas chalom that it wasn't about the day of the month that should be observed, it was about the fact that it was Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas. They did a She'ilas Chalom, and what they saw in the She'ilas Chalom was Dog Zeras Araisa, which is the Targum of Zos Chukas HaTorah. That they did a She'ilas Chalom, and they were told this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chok, and therefore they observe a fast Dafka on Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, for the Bizayin of Kisvei HaKodesh, for the Sreifa of Kisvei HaKodesh. That's one of the sources. This Magen Avram is one of the sources about fasting when a Sefer Torah falls. When a Sefer Torah is Munach B'Bizayon or falls, is based on this Magen Avram. That's when Sfarim are destroyed, that there's an Inyan to fast. There is no clear, so that's an unbelievable Daf Yomi coincidence, that Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas is wild. But there is no clear source in Shas that one fasts when a Sefer Torah falls to the ground. The Mari Brona was asked, if someone's tefillin fall on the ground, what should he do? So he says that he saw that his Rebbeim had a minhag that if they didn't yet eat that day, then they should fast the rest of that day, even though they did not do a Kabbalah's Tainus the day before, and they could still say Anenu, just like in a Tainus Chalom, that it's better to fast that day, even on Shabbos by a Tainus Chalom you would fast, because we always want to make it that day. That's the idea, that's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph. The reason we fast Tainus Chalom that day is because we assume it's Herulom in a Shemayim that he has to do Tshuva, that you got a sign from Shemayim that one needs to do Tshuva. So he says by Nefilas Tefillin also, that the Inyan of fasting when Kisvei HaKodesh, Tefillin, Sefer Torah, when something falls, is that we take it as a Simen Min HaShemayim that a person has to do Tshuva. I was once many years ago, Rabbi Shapiro was out of town, and there was someone in his shul who was very sick, so he asked me to go to the hospital and end of life kind of situation, be there for the family. So I went to the hospital. I was talking to this to the daughter of the woman who was very ill, and it was clear that she wasn't always Orthodox. It wasn't entirely clear she was Orthodox now, but she clearly wasn't always Orthodox. And I asked her, like, why do you belong to an Orthodox shul? And she said that she used to daven in the conservative shul, and one time on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, the Sefer Torah fell, and the rabbi of the shul got up and said, don't worry, it's not like a person fell, it's no big deal, everyone relax. And they just picked it up and he went out. And she was like so taken aback by that he would not make a big deal out of a Sefer Torah shenafel. She said she can't belong to such a place, and she moved to the Orthodox shul. The idea that a Sefer Torah falls, it's a siman min hashamayim. We're supposed to view it. A person should not say, okay, an object is going to fall once in a while, no matter how careful we are, every once in a while an accident's going to happen. No, we view it as a siman min hashamayim that a person has to do tshuva. So that's what Mari Broner writes, and that's why you do the fast right away. But it's not so clear. The Achronim aren't also certain that that's the reason that we fast. Meaning there is some sort of minhag that seems to be widely understood and widely known. Tzitz Eliezer is a whole kuntrus on this minhag to fast, but it's not 100% clear that it's because of Siman Min HaShemayim. It could be because of our own pshia, our own negligence in protecting the Kisvei HaKodesh. That it's we need a kapara for the avera of not protecting the Kisvei HaKodesh carefully enough. When do 90% of the cases where Sefer Torah falls? It's Simchas Torah. Why? Because people get a little out of hand, they give it to the 8-year-old to carry, and the Sefer Torah ends up falling. So that's one's own negligence in protecting the Sefer Torah. It could be that it's a kapara for that avera. L'may nafka mina, whether it's a Siman Min HaShemayim or it's a kapara for a person's negligence. So nafkamina is, what if the Sefer Torah falls ba'onas? There was an earthquake and the Sefer Torah fell out of the Aron, something like that. So that has nothing to do with our negligence. We didn't do anything wrong. Or nafkamina if people, the person who didn't drop it, everyone's just standing there, they're taking out the Sefer Torah, and Rahman al-Tzlan, the guy who's taking out the Sefer Torah, drops the Sefer Torah. What did I do? I just happened to be standing there watching it. So if it's a din in Siman min HaShemayim, so anyone who witnessed the Mara Hanora Hazeh, anyone who sees something like that should have to fast. But if it's not about a Siman Min HaShemayim, it's about a kapara for one's lack of protection of the Sefer Torah, so what does that have to do with anyone who's watching it? The Divrei Chaim in the Tshuva in Yardei Chalakal of Siman Nuntes is Mochiach that it's a Siman Min HaShemayim, and therefore everyone who's there should have to do something, whether it be fast or something else. So there's a lot of discussion on this topic of what exactly to do when Sefer Torah falls, when Tefillin falls, and obviously the Isser to be Zorek is also an Isser of Bizayon. That's even worse. It may not be even worse. Some say that falling is worse than being Zorik. If even Zorik is us, with Zorik, you could do Bekavana and try to put it in a respectful place. When something falls, it just falls wherever it falls, and you don't really control it. Magen Avraham says that the minhag to fast when we drop our tefillin is only when it falls outside of its box. But if it's inside of the box, then there's no need to fast when you drop your tefillin. There's a discussion in Poskim, the Imre Yosha has a discussion, can you send a Sefer Torah in the mail, because it gets thrown around from one place to the other, so and that's clearly a bizayon. So he says that he was matir to send the Sefer Torah if you put it in a separate box plus another kli on top of that box, a box within a box, so that the Sefer Torah is munach in a kli b'toch kli, because the isur to be zorek kisvei kodesh is only when you zorek the kisvei kodesh out, much like when tefillin drops, only if it's out and unprotected. But if it's wrapped, even though they may throw around packages in the postal, when the postal service is dealing with all the packages, they may throw it around, but inside several boxes, maybe it's mutter. I think the minhag is that people do not mail Sifrei Torah. But, okay, probably for other reasons. They don't trust the postal service to deal with a $50,000 item. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. Hayakori Barosh Hagag. So if a person was reading Barosh Hagag and the Sefer Torah rolls out. So Mishari, so we said that you're allowed to go low, so you're allowed to roll it back. So Vatanya, Kosvei Sarm Tulim, Zuzlo, Itirula, and Lahafich. Sorry, we said that if you can't be go low, then you turn it face down. So you're allowed to turn it face down. I, Vatanya, Kosvei Sarm You're not supposed to turn a sefer face down. What you should do is you put a cloth over it to cover the ksav. So hasam efshar, hachalo efshar. Yeah, if that were a possibility, you would do that. If it's not a possibility, so then you turn it face down. So it's a matter of bad and worse, meaning it's a bizayin kisvei kodesh either way, but it's a much worse bizayin of kisvei kodesh to leave it exposed than to turn it upside down. So frankly, Marvalo nach, but there was never a hanacha, it never rested anywhere. So Amarava, because so why should you have to be hofchal? Why can't you be galot? So it's just dangling in midair. So Amarava, because of meshupa. Now we're dealing with a slanted wall where it actually does rest on the wall. It's not a wall that goes straight down. So the Sefer Torah is dangling. The Sefer is dangling. It's a wall that gets wider toward the bottom. So the Sefer is actually resting on the width of that wall. So Amalei Abayi b'mayu kimtul masni. So because of meshupa. So our mission. But then the Sefer Rabbi Yehuda says that even if it's only a tiny drop off the ground, you could roll it back. But it's resting. So if it's a tiny drop off the ground, then it's resting on the ground because it's anach within three tvachim. So chisur mechzavachik tani. No, it's missing a line. This is what it should say. We have to add in. When are we talking about that you should be hovchal aksav? That's because of meshupa. But if it's a straight wall, then then if it's more than three tefachim off the ground, you roll it back up. If it's less than three tefachim off the ground, you just flip it over on its face. Rabbi Yehuda says even if it's just a little bit off the ground. So because Rabbi Yehuda says if it's not physically on the ground, it's not considered to be hanacha. It's not considered to be resting on anything. But wait a second, then it turns out that Rava's statement that in Masecha Shabbos where something that's within three tefachim of the ground it needs a hanacha, so maybe Rava's saying that maybe Rava's statement is not lekulei alma. He's saying that only within one shita in Tanaim, so Ella Kula Rabbi Yehuda. So rather, the way to understand our Mishnah is that all the statements are Rabbi Yehuda. V'chzur mechzavachi k'tani, and this is how to read the Mishnah. V'amed var mamurin b'kosel meshupa, aval b'kosel she'enu meshupa afilu pachos mishloshot tefachim gol lo etzlav. If it's not a slanted wall, even if it's within three tefachim of the ground, you can roll it back up. Why? Sher Rabbi Yehuda Omer afilu enu musluk menaret el malachut gol lo etzlav. Even if it's a tiny drop off the ground, you're allowed to roll it back up. My timer to be an hanacha al gabe mashu, because it needs a hanacha and there is no hanacha when it's resting off the ground. So when Rabbi Yehuda says that even if it's slightly off the ground, you can roll it back, he's talking about a case of a straight wall where the sefer is dangling, and had it been resting within three tefachim of the ground on a kosel meshupa, then it would be usher to roll back. But it's dangling, it's not resting, and that's why gol lo etzlo, as long as it's even slightly off the ground. Says the Mishnah, ziz shelifnei chalon nosan alav notim menu b'shabbos. If you have a ledge right in front of the window, you're allowed to take things from the ledge to your house, from your house to the ledge on Shabbos. Sai ziz demapik lehecha. Where does this ziz lead out to? Ilem demapik l'roshos harabim lechushol nafil vasi lesuye. If the other side of the ziz is a roshos harabim, shouldn't I be concerned that it might fall down into the roshos harabim and then you're going to pick it back up and bring it into your house? Sela demapik l'roshos hayachin. So what? You want to say that the other side of the ziz is a roshos hayachin? Pshita. Well, then of course you're allowed to carry from your house to the ziz. It's surrounded by roshos hayachin on all sides. So I'm rabbi liol demapik l'roshos harabim. Now we got to say it's going out into the roshos. When we say that you're allowed to put things out on the ziz, we're talking about fragile kalim. So if there's no concern that if they fall, you're going to pick them up, bring them back in the house, because if they fall, they break. And therefore, you're not going to pick them up. You have no interest in picking them up. Tani nami yachi ziz shel vnei achalon ayotzi l'roshos harabim. It says beferish in the brisa that the ziz in front of your window and the other side of the ziz is roshos harabim. Nosel of karos uvekosos kitonios utzlochios. You can put fragile kalim there. Umishtamish bekol akosel adasar tachtonim, and you can use the entire wall up until the bottom 10 tefachim. V'miyesh ziz echad lematim imenu mishtamish bo ubeelyon mishtamish bo l'kineg chalono. If there's a lower ledge on the wall, you can use that ledge, but the upper ledge you can only use across from where the window is. But if the ledge extends beyond from across from where the window is, it's let's say, a wider ledge than it is a window, you're not allowed to use that part of the ledge. Size is hechidami. What kind of ziz is this talking about? Either less by arba'a, if it's less than four tvachim itself, makom p'turhu, v'afilu k'nei chalonu nami lo yishtamesh. Then it's a makom p'tur, you shouldn't be allowed to use any of it, even the part that's across from the window. Why? Because we're afraid that something's going to fall and break. We said we're dealing with fragile kalim, and therefore there's no concern. No, that's only when it's four tvachim, where it's not so common that it's going to fall. But if it's less than four tvachim, it's very common that it's going to fall. Even fragile kalim, we're going to say, is aser. V'yisbe arba, and if it is four tvachim, why'd be kulei akosel l'shtamish? Then you should be able to use the entire wall. So Amar Abai, I mean, you should use the entire ziz. So says Amar Abai, tachton de'yisbe arba, the lower ledge that we said you're allowed to use without any questions asked, that's four tvachim wide. The elyon, the upper ledge that we said you're only allowed to use the part that's across from the window, less be arba is less than four tvachim, v'chalon mashlim oledalid. But when you take into account the width of the window also, so then it equals four tvachim. Ah, so now it makes sense. Keneged chalon mishtamish tuchore chalonhu. So the part that's directly outside the window you're allowed to use, because now it's a four tefach wide area. So that you're allowed to use, that's chore chalon. The haigisa aser. But what extends beyond the area of the chalon is less than four tefachim. Over there there's a concern it's going to fall down, and it's going to be aser to use that area of the ledge. That's the explanation of the braisa. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow with the Mishnah about standing in one rishos and being metaltel in another rishos.